I am overwhelmed with your offering, your musical offering. It is all about coming home. It's my journey, and my journey at every point in time is about coming home. And coming home for me means that divine unrest that I just yield to and find another place and it feels like home. Then there is divine unrest again. And I find a smooth, sweet spot and it feels like home. It's an entire journey, and thank you so much. I have with me, I just love this.
Oh my goodness.
This is the Science of Mind textbook.
Cadillac version.
The Cadillac version. And I thought I would bring it out because, you know, you guys have made fun of my other books so much that I want to show you there are no turned up ears and it's not marked in. Plus, I have the pleasure of having the concordance in here.
Oh.
And it has, it's just a concordance. And of course, it has the index, which kind of directs you to where you need to be. It's a perfect book. And it's the story of my life. It is. I'm not going to use it today. I just wanted to show off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Show and tell.
Show and tell.
It does have the beginnings of paper sticking out all over
it. We'll have to fix that.
Hold that in, good. Hold that in, just untouched.
Yeah. Leave my gold alone. And this is, I've had almost 4 months to prepare for my talk today. Because it was presented to me when I was doing foundations class with Connie the last time, that she would be at Big Sky for this weekend, and she'd asked me if I can do it. And I said, absolutely, I would jump at every opportunity to just to delve deeper into the study and the philosophy of Science of Mind, and just to be at home again with my center. And so I went ahead, and I have a lot of notes that I've prepared over the 3-4 months. And this morning, over the last 2 days, talking about divine unrest. It's just been coming to me, how am I going to present practicing the presence? And I kept telling myself, well, you've had 3 months to do it, and you've done it well. You have all these beautiful notes. And so over the last 2 days, it's just been not feeling right, you know. And this morning in my contemplation meditation process, I realized that I'm not going to use these notes. But something totally different came to me, because one of the things I was thinking about in practicing the presence is that it sounds like spiritual mind treatment. There is recognition, there is unification. You know, I have to recognize that God is all there is. If I have to understand about the presence is everywhere. The presence is omnipresent, and it's always there, always available. So if it's always available, how can I be one with this allness? And then I realized that's unification. And then to practice this allness, I have to declare my word. I have to realize that, hey, if I am one with God, then it's open possibilities, unlimited. And that's the third stage of treatment. And then, in all things, give thanks, even when we don't feel thankful. And it's a process of surrendering and letting go and yielding to the law of being, yielding to the presence that is supporting me in love. And so I had to change from all the wonderful quotations I have and the remarks that I've been writing over the 3 month period, 4 month period. I probably will refer to it, but it all came down today to the 10 core concepts of the foundations class. And talking about home again is, I mean, I have always been a searcher, a seeker, and I have always been a Christian all my life, and I've made it very public with water baptism and, you know, declarations of salvation and all that stuff. But because of an unrest within me, 5 years ago, I had to constantly be out there hitting Borders bookstore looking for something. There was something in Borders bookstore that I needed to know. And so I was going like every day to Borders bookstore. I would buy a book, look through it, and it's like this sentence makes a lot of sense. It fills me. It really feels like home, this sentence. Or sometimes I'll buy a book that it's a paragraph and it's like really, really good. And so my goal then was, if buying this book is going to bring me closer to a more soothing center, I'm going for it. So I probably bought like about 20 books, just trying to search and seek. Until one day I went to Borders and I got, it was time to leave, they were turning the lights off. I got my Science of Mind textbook. And I had no idea, I've never bought a big book like that, ever. And so I decided I would take it back quickly if it doesn't fit me. And of course, this is history. It was home. It really felt like home. The philosophy felt like home. Everything about it, and what really felt like home, was personal empowerment. And looking back, many, many years back, when I first read that Wayne Dyer's book on your erroneous zones, it was an introduction into personal empowerment for me. It was an introduction to a new path for me, if you can say new path. I've had different experiences now with new paths. But it felt like home. And that's where I wanted to focus on today, in that in order to practice the presence, we have to know what the presence is, and we have to know, okay, is it a presence inside or outside of us? How can I practice something that I am not sure about or doesn't feel good to me? And so I think the 10 core concept would be really perfect for me today in sharing it with you. And so the first core concept, well, before I go further, I just wanted to thank everyone for all your wonderful support and prayers. I'm sure everyone knows about my daughter, Lorianne, still in the hospital, coming from college, got into a really serious accident. Life-changing accident, and you know, I really felt supported and loved. I have lots of people calling, a lot of people left messages on my machine and sent cards. Kate and Connie is my rock. They come very, very regular to the hospital and they support me so beautifully. Thank you so much. And I wanted to say that, I mean, with all of that happening in my life, it is a life-changing experience for me also, because it's an experience that I don't think any parent should ever go through with their child. It's tough. It continues to be tough. There are issues that come up that allows me to take a deep breath and just know that this is the unfolding of Spirit. This is God. I firmly believe that all things work together for good, because it is good. It is God. And the reason I brought this up is because there is a process in my life that has prepared me for what has happened. And one of the things that literally prepared me is actually doing the foundations classes. You know, at first in 2000 when I went to Celebration Center, I did the very first foundation class. And then I did one with Reverend Hillary in 2004. And then I did one with Connie in 2005. And the 2005 foundations class, I think because of the issues that we were working out and talking about, I think it everything just accumulated or came to the one point where it was my conversation, our conversation. Judy was the assistant teacher, and we were talking about immortality. And one of the questions Phyllisa had asked was, you know, how, you know, and words to the effect, it's probably not going to be correct in terms of your straight talk, but words to the effect that, so how can I face the death of my child or something like that? And because we were talking about Kate, you were talking about having to talk to one of the presidents and ask questions, and I was saying life is eternal and you can ask your question now, in the now, and know that it can be answered because there isn't a beginning, a middle, and an end. Because of an absence of a person doesn't mean that that life has ended. And I got it very, very clear at that time. And so when Phyllisa had asked about her child, she said, let's say maybe my child died or something like that. And I said, let's take it off of you, Phyllisa. Let me handle it. I'm the big gun here. But no. I told her, I said, you know, let's say it's my child. I would still understand that life is eternal. I would still understand that spirit never ever ends and that my true source is eternal. And I mean, those are words that keep ringing back and forth, back and forth. And you know, when I got the call to go to the hospital, I didn't know it was that serious. I really had no idea. And so I was in prayer and knowing that everything's going to be eternally perfect. It is eternally perfect, but whatever it is something that I can handle and that I can open up to God and open up to the ease and the peace that it will, or that my center will afford me. And it happened like that. I mean, from the time they asked me to go to the back room, took me from the waiting room in the emergency room and took me to the back. I knew it might have been a more serious than usual. Of course, I refused to go into the room because I remember the last time they took me and put me in a room is when they told me that my father was dead. But by the time they had me in the room and my family and friends were there, I mean, I was at a peace. And I could not tell you how peaceful I was. And I kept saying, it's God's unfolding. Whatever it is, it's God's unfolding. I can't understand it. I don't want to understand it. But I understand that it's an event that is opening up. And it's either I shut it down and deal with it negatively, or I let it happen and flow and just know that I'm supported in the love that is God. And I think that kind of was a turning point to the way how everything happened, because my family was really frantic, and it seemed as though there was a peace that overcame them because I was peaceful. I went to the back and I saw her, and I mean, my sister almost fell out, you know, fell down, and I just said, it is all in God's timing. This is an unfoldment. It shocked me. It really shocked me. And but But the reason I think I brought this back is because if I didn't go through these steps of following this urge to want to know more, following this urge to keep my heart in perfect peace, and taking classes, doing foundations classes, doing spiritual or other classes that the center afforded to us, or the Sterling Study Group afford, you know, it is so important to really feed your spirit, feed your soul, because there comes a time when you have to fall back on something. And it's either you fall back on fear or you fall back on love. I am so grateful that I fell back on God's grace, on the love that is God. I had enough to carry me for a month. I could not read, I could not pray, I could not meditate, I couldn't do anything. I was just uplifted by your prayers and your love and your support and the support of Lorianne's Christian community. I mean, it was wonderful, overwhelming. And so practicing the presence for me was like an automatic pilot for that first month. I knew that God could never desert me, could never leave me. So that was a given. I knew that it's all good. It's all God. It's all graciousness. It's all givingness. And I put in my mind that if what is unfolding here is what appears to be love unfolding, grace unfolding, then I accept it. I could have put it in a different way. I could have said, it's all bad, it's all wrong, why me? And I did go there. I did go there at times. Why Lorianne? She's never had a really good chance in life. She was always pretty obese, and now this. And I went there for her, but then I quickly came back because I realized my thoughts determine my experience. And so I wanted to be positive. I wanted to stay open. I wanted to stay centered and just feel the love that God is. So I wanted to just share with you that the core concept, the core concept one is that God is all there is. It's all God. And if we, and God is that presence, it's according to the Ernest Holmes, it's the thing itself, it's spirit, it's life, it's love, it's the universe, it's infinite knowledge. What I like most of it, most of all, is it's life. God is life. And even if things had gone different with my daughter and she had passed on, I would have known that the life that she is still as active, it's still the flow, it's still infinite, it's still love. That would have been my center and my grounding thoughts or emotions. Would have been tough, could have been tough, but I would have still known that because God is all there is, it's not God and Lorianne and this trouble. It's not God and me. It's everything encompassed in the one. It's the unfolding. It's an opening up. And so she was just a point of God. I am a point of God. Each one of us is a point in God, of God, as God. And so the second one is that there is a triune nature, which obviously, within this oneness, this Godness, this all there is, everything happens. It unfolds. We don't really have to know how it unfolds. You know, they made an issue of making us want to know how it unfolds. But just know that there is nowhere else that anything can unfold except, you know, all there is. This is it. This is what we have. This is God. This is our experience. And because of this, we now have to think, well, because I am in this oneness with God, as God, then I have to be in charge of my thoughts. I have to be the creative master of my experience. And if I channel my consciousness, I channel my thoughts to dictate my life, to dictate my experience, then that's what the creative process is all about. My thoughts determine my experience. And so, as I am convicted about what I want, I send it out. And it's demonstrated. And I am really glad that at the time that I had my experience, that I was able to remember that thoughts are real things. Thoughts are things. What I think about comes about. And if I can have any control over it, I want to think positive. I want to know that even if I don't have a hold on the bigger, broader picture, that whatever is in my small world, that I can contribute to that that well-being, that goodness. And so, Knowing that our thoughts are creative, we also know that God is always available. There's nowhere else that God is. Where is God? God is here. God is me. God is you. God is everything. I mean, it's the presence. If you don't want to say God, say the presence. Say life is living right here, right now. This is my experience. My experience is God. This is the unfolding of it. And just embrace that. Embrace that that in all things there is always that availability. So when we pray, we are not praying for something outside of the big picture, because there is never ever anything that could be outside all there is. What else is there if there is not all there is? There is no outside all there is. So everything that has to be created within. And this within is the spirit. Starting from within me, without. Starting from within you. You know, it's just there. It's just here, right here, right now. This is God, right now. So it's just a perfect whole. There's nowhere we can ever go besides practicing the presence, practicing God as we speak. And then there is the bounty of spirit, which we all know. I am a child of God. I am created as a finite expression of God. Thus I am heir to all the good there is, simply because of who I am. Simply because of who I am deserving. Because I was created. Because I was created. Because I'm here, I am. Because I am, God is. It's just a give and take. It's like a sweet osmosis in this whole allness of the whole. And I can experience this infinite abundance in my life as love, as money, as health, as talent, as fulfillment, or any other form of earthly riches that my mind can ever conceive. So whatever it is, it could be health, it could be wealth, it could be ease, it could be love, it could be grace, it could be wisdom. It's all here, right now. And I am it. I am it because I'm here. My experience, my opening, my unfolding is only because I am of the perfect whole. So there is nowhere else that I can go, nowhere else I can benefit from. The riches, the goodness, the glory of this earth is mine, all mine, because I am heir. I'm part of it all. I don't know how else to explain it, you know. And then core concept 8 is all about human forgiveness. And Ernest Holmes said in his book, neither the consciousness of spirit nor the laws of the universe hold anything against us. Wherever we turn to them, wherever we turn to them in recognition and acceptance, they immediately flow through us, imparting the divine givenness. So there is, God cannot be against us. God can not even be for us. We are, we just are, and we are unfolding. It is a good thing to know that God is goodness. And so if God is goodness, we unfold as goodness. It's just in labeling the events in our lives that causes some contradiction and causes that kind of duality in our thinking, that because my daughter has lost her leg now, oh my God, it's now God and Lorianne. God help her, you know? And absolutely, I want all the help that she can get. Anything that's going to bring her to a path of wholeness easily and quickly, it's my heart's desire. And this is what Ernest is saying, that God is not against us. Neither the consciousness of spirit nor the laws of the universe hold anything against us. Wherever we turn to them in recognition and acceptance, they immediately flow through us. And I accept. I accept goodness, and I expect goodness in all my my experiences. And then we talked about immortality, which is death. It's a human concept, not a divine idea. And the reason that it's a human concept is because if we think that it's life and then there is death, then there is duality. There cannot be duality in a perfect whole. If we have a perfect whole, then all things must work together in a perfect whole. There is no duality. There may be a discontinuation of a physical, but then we are spirit. Who we truly are, our center, our being, our consciousness, can never ever die. And it's really good in knowing that in our daily practicing the presence, because it will make a difference. It will make a difference with our fear level. It'll make a difference with the gusto we put things, we put ourselves in. It will make a difference between loving to do something and fearing it. Having the faith to fear or having the faith to love. It will make a difference. So just knowing that life can never die, it just doesn't make sense. If it's life, it's life, it's living, it's never ending, it's eternal. Death is a different picture. Death is disease, death is destruction, death is absence of the physical. And it happens. This is all in the whole here. But it's not death to life, because life can never die. And that's one of the things that really held me and support me up to this day. I'm still holding on to that. And then the last one is partaking in that Christ consciousness. And again, this is where the practice in the presence come in, because if we know all these beautiful concepts, if we know that it's one, if we know that God and I are one, because I am all there is, it is all there is, then having that truth, knowing that truth, I can partake of in every minute, and personally I don't, there are times when I'm very absent-minded and I don't remember hugging the person and still going back and ask for a hug or whatever. But if we remember that there is nowhere else for us to unfold but right here, right now, then in practicing that presence, practicing our God self, practicing the me, the spirit me, the center of myself in a very mindful way with the center of the self of another, the center of the self of a tree, of nature, whatever, the stones you pick up, you know, they are teachers. You hold the stone and you can feel the vibrance of life. I mean, it sounds funny, I could only say that here, but you can feel that connection. And so in practicing, we just remember that as we look within and we come from a place of knowing our oneness, we are indeed practicing Christ consciousness. And so this is something that we can absolutely remember. You know, every once in a while, just think that there's no place for me to go. This is it here and now. And how I, what I put out is what or who I am. And I think that is it. I wanted to share this. This is the last foundations class. And this is one of the things that we were doing with the I Am. But I brought this in because for the first time, I didn't know. I never knew there was a ready on it. And what that meant to me is that obviously I was preparing for up to this date, you know. I think my heart, my soul felt comfortable. I would rather not have the experiences I've gone through to feel comfortable. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm really comfortable, but I think what this meant to me when I saw it just yesterday is that I'm thankful, I'm really grateful for all the events in my life, going through the process that I've gone through, going through practitionership. Thank you so much, my dear. You were a pillar on my path, and I don't know if I would have had the sense of hopefulness, even in death, to hang in there. And going through the process of practitioner training, we had to do so much of looking within yourself and knowing that it is the fullness of God, knowing that we are the fullness of God. And so I just wanted to leave how do I experience the presence of God? Just know that God is the presence. Know that where I am, I and God are one. If we know that, that is the big picture, the full picture right there. And be ready to be alone. Alone doesn't mean being lonely. Lonely is really different. Lonely means there is an absence of someone in my presence, or there's an absence of me being with me. But alone is a choice that I'm making, that I choose to be here and now with me and opening my center to whatever comes. And sitting in quietness, obviously that would go with the aloneness. Know that your consciousness determines your experience, your thoughts. Just having the human body is such a limited thing. And knowing that the consciousness that we have right here, right now, there is a bigger picture for consciousness, and there is an unlimited consciousness, eternal. And so just know that your consciousness is infinite. It's eternal. It's not limited to the mind or to the body, but it is totally eternal and can be anywhere, anytime, any place, anytime, it's always available. And believe that you create your own experiences. Whether it looks like a huge life-threatening accident, or whether it is sitting at in the mountains, just in a beautiful resort, wherever, we create our experiences. How it works, I don't know. I will not ever attempt to go there, especially now. But we just know that thoughts are the basis on which our experiences are created. Because what happens is that we think things, and then there is a feeling that goes along with the thoughts. And so we succumb to the feelings. And then the feelings lead to our emotions, and then we kind of get into a raggy mood, or we can get into a really ecstatic mood. And from the emotions, we develop an attitude. And it's with this attitude that creates our experience. Because if we want to keep in a really shitty attitude, then guess what? People are going to stay away from us because they don't want to partake in our felt sort of thing. And then because you don't get the goodness filtering in through to you because of your attitude, it's like a force shield around you saying, stay away, I just want to be by myself, whatever. I just can't determine what the attitude is. But that will determine your experience, and you can try it out. I mean, you stay by yourself, you have thoughts of negative stuff. The more you think about the negative stuff, it's the more negative things keep coming in, and then you start piling it on. You know, it starts coming on, pile after pile. And it's not going to stop. And this comes from experience, not with the my Laurian's issue, but from other issues. I realize when I get into that funky place and I start thinking, oh gosh, why me? What did I do? What could I do differently? And then you think about the things that I could do differently, and then it piled on onto the why me, and then it starts opening up more and more and more and more. And then I get into a really, really funky place. And I don't want to come out after that. It's so comfortable sometimes being in a funky place that you feel good being alone, you feel good being crotchety, you feel good just, you know. But then you know it's not a good feeling because everything around you is not in alignment. Things don't work out. You don't get people smiling. You don't smile. You don't want to smile. And even if you want to smile, it doesn't look like a smile. And you know, so the best time to stop that or to get out of that funky place, because it takes a lot of time and effort to get out. It takes sometimes treatment. It takes sometimes counseling to get out. So the best time to avoid it is to, as it happens and you realize that the negative thoughts are happening, cut it off. Change it around. Think differently. And it may feel fake and forced at first, but you know that we are living in a universe of well-being, and that we feel best when there is well-being around. So even if we are faking the good feeling, we know at some point there is going to be an ease, a peace, a goodness, as opposed to the bad feelings, which you don't even have to fake. You don't have to fake bad feelings. It just happens. And so that would tell you also that there is a place of rest, a place of goodness, a place of ease that is home. You come home to that good feeling. Thank you very much. I really appreciated your wonderful attention. Thank you.
Thank you. There's only God in this room right now. That's all there is. That's everything. It's inside, outside, and through us. It is the practice of the presence of God happening right now as we allow ourselves to be mindful of it. And so I invite you to sit comfortably. And allow thoughts to go through your mind, in and out, and pay them no mind. Allow feelings to arise through your heart. And let those feelings guide you. If there is an area of your life right now where there is divine unrest, allow it to speak to you. It is spirit wanting to go higher, wanting to take you higher. It is your cue for your next expansion of consciousness in a universe that's unlimited and ever expanding. So tune in now to any areas of unrest. Now let go of the thought of unrest and just allow the feeling of peace to totally fill you, to take over your life right at this moment in this silence. The universe is so vast, so expansive, so all-encompassing, that everything that you need for your life is around you right now, is accessible to you right now. So touch that part of you inside that knows this, and allow yourself to have the faith that what you need for your next step, for your next growth in consciousness, is right with you, right now. Listen to your inner wisdom. Your inner wisdom has all the answers, whether you're aware of them or not. Trust what you receive from the presence of God in the very center of your being.